2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Another episode of the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. We're headed to our final event of the California swing here at the Genesis Open, previously known as the Northern Trust Open, and not to be confused with the Northern Trust. You gotta say it like that because it's all caps. And this is going to be a good event, strongest field of the year so far. And it's really good to have these multi-course events sort of out of the way. We've been doing really well so far. Just last week was a little frustrating with the different courses and the different rules and all that. It's going to be all normal events from here on out. So before I get into breaking down the field here in the course, I got to let you know that if you're using the link in the description, you can check out DFSArmy.com. What we offer a wide variety of daily fantasy sports coverage, all included in one package. And of course, you'll be able to access the research station, which I will be referencing throughout this pod. We've still got sports like NHL and NBA going strong. Of course, golf is pretty much in the best part of the season, heading into the major season, the Masters, the Players, all that. Here in the upcoming Florida swing and you got NASCAR right around the corner with the Daytona 500 in just 5 days. Really excited. They've got some humongous tournaments this weekend that we will be all over. We already crushed the Clash this last Sunday here. And remember, promo code TACO will get you a lifetime 20% off discount. So remember to use that upon signing up. It's going to be a lot cheaper that way. And it's already pretty darn cheap as it is for what we offer. It's a great value. Come check us out, and you'll be able to access the full version of this podcast where we take a deep dive into the player pool past the top studs. Usually this part of the podcast, I just go over the course and then the top few major studs on the board. You'll get access to the complete podcast. We go down pretty much player by player, break down this whole dang field. So let's get right into this course here. The Genesis Open, we're coming off of a few weeks where, again, like I had said, you had multiple courses and stuff, but the last few weeks in particular, the courses have been quite unique. They've really stuck out. Like last week at Pebble Beach, those were three of the four shortest courses on tour, and, we've seen things like the Ultimate Bombers courses, like at the Waste Management and stuff. Here at Riviera Country Club, out in beautiful California, we're seeing more Poa and Nui greens, and these are also going to be some much smaller greens, sort of like we had at Pebble there, but not a whole lot really sticks out in this tournament when you're comparing it to other tournaments. The first thing that really does stick out are the very low green and regulation numbers. And a generally low driving accuracy percentage here as well. It's a little bit longer of a course for a par 71. It's a 7,300 yard par 71. And the focus in this course is longer par 4s. So basically the rough is quite penal. And we're going to look at strokes gained around the green a lot more than we have been, especially. It's been pretty disregarded in the last few weeks, but this is a tournament where you want to look at that more than you would a normal tournament. And also, longer irons. It's pretty much the opposite of last week, where, last week at Pebble Beach, we saw way more approach strokes taken in the wedge range, is where here we see a lot less taken 150 yards and shorter. We see a lot more of those 150 to 175 and 175 to 200 yard approach strokes, but not too many above the 200 yard range. It's pretty consolidated within there. They're not the highest amounts that we see on tour, but they're both pretty high compared to, you know, just a normal standard event and the percentage of shots taken in that range. So, you know, especially if you're a little shorter off the tee, you can't really club down all that much here. It's not really an option with the length, especially on those par fours where we're going to need people to save par a lot of the time. It's just going to be very important over there. So yeah, we actually see, well, when looking at historical correlations, just going from season-long averages of players and how that's correlated with their fantasy point scoring here, we actually see driving distance come in over driving accuracy, although one would be inclined to believe that driving accuracy would sort of reign supreme here. It's not really the case. You need more distance, and, you know, everything else, nothing else really sticks out besides just a little bit of strokes gained around the green and driving distance, not even necessarily strokes gained off the green. That hasn't really been too telling of fantasy scoring here. We're going to want to look more towards general cut making. It's going to be important. It is a 144 person field, I do believe. So right around regulation size there, pretty full field. And unlike last week, we won't get that extra third round. It's going to be a typical top 70 in ties after Friday cut. We're going to want to get 6 out of 6 through this week. It's going to be really important. And, you know, again, for the stats we're mostly focusing on, there really isn't too much of a hole type draw. Like last week, we had just an insane amount of short par fours. Here we have, you know, this course, we have 6 longer par fours and 4 medium length par fours. Those are 10 of 18 holes or hole types on tour. You can actually see that the leaders in those hole rankings are pretty much all of your studs, your DJs, Justin Thomas's, DeChambeau's, even Tiger Woods ranks number 1 at the medium par four scoring. So, you know, one thing I will say about this field is that it's quite top heavy. Like I had said before, it's the strongest field that we've seen so far this year. It's almost astonishing to me that Pebble Beach, you know, one of the most iconic courses of all time, is actually the easiest event as far as field strength that we've seen so far. But when you consider all of the withdrawals that we had like over a dozen withdrawals last week, you can kind of come to see how that came into play. The weather was really bad. It was a pretty crappy tournament. Like I had said, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am is never that great of a tournament to begin with, but you know, it was still a very good week. I was all over Phil, and he ended up winning pretty convincingly there. Casey ended up really coming through there. Just was on a lot of the good plays, made some decent money last week. Looking to parlay that into this week, and we've honestly been rolling pretty well so far. Our ownership projection correlations have hit 93% for 3 weeks in a row, or 0.93 R squared, which is quite excellent. And even when you get rid of all the guys sub 1%, which, you know, kind of helps that stat a lot, we are still right around the 0.9 mark. It was 0.91 last week, so just really, really high accuracy in the ownership projections, which are great. Those come out Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, sometime around there. So we'll have that ready for you guys. And, you know, just kind of been feeling it the last few weeks, been pretty spot on with a lot of the guys up top. Of course, guys like Nick Twatney, as I'll call him now, from down low. You've always got your guys that kind of ruin you in different ways, but, you know, it's golf. Anyone can miss the cut at any time, but as long as you're generally on the right path, you just keep rolling with it, and things will end up solid. They always do. So this week, you know, again, there's not one thing that I'm focusing too much on. I like, you know, looking at things like strokes gained around the green, but I mean, still off the tee and definitely approach are going to be just more important. Just, you know, don't want to don't want to overestimate, you know, what I said before there. Like, you know, stroke scanned around the green is going to matter more this week than at a normal tournament. But you still have to think about it in scale of how much that matters just overall. You know, still things like approach are going to come in more because, I mean, stroke scanned approach is just the most highly correlating stat pretty much every single week when you break down the strokes gained. That and when you just look at the raw, like, event numbers, you know, the strokes gained within an event that correlate with things like fantasy scoring and just finishing well. You also see putting up there, but like I mentioned in the past, putting is just generally hard to predict. It's always very important. And this course actually ranked top 10 in putts per round last year, or over the last few years. But still, putting is very unpredictable, especially on these POA greens. This will be the last time that we see POA NUA greens for quite a while here as we get off the West Coast swing. I really only see those in places like in New England. They've got a lot of POA NUA greens. And then, you know, the West Coast, like we've been on, we've seen quite a few at places like Torrey Pines and last week at Pebble Beach. So, wrapping up the West Coast swing, going to take some final swings at the guys who are pretty cash money in the West Coast splits here. Got my eyes on a few people. Of course, you know, we're coming off of a Phil victory, and, you know, it's Pebble Beach. That would make, what, his fifth Pebble Beach victory there? I mean, yeah, Phil's going to Phil. This week, you know, we've got a lot more of the bigger names in there. Dustin Johnson is playing again, and he historically crushes here, but we've got Justin Thomas back, got Rory, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. I mean, it's kind of a who's who here. You know, you've got like 10 guys priced higher than Jordan Spieth. That's how you know it's a pretty darn good slate. Although I would say that it kind of falls off pretty quickly as you get down to the 7K range. Like the, it's like the sub 7K range from last week was almost more usable than this week's. It gets quite bad quite quickly, but there are still some plays we're going to focus on down low. I do think that ownership might become a bit of an issue with the plays down, you know, in the lower range, because a lot of guys just stick out more than others, and we might get a little bit of concentrated ownership on some of these guys. So if you stick through the deep dive part of the podcast, then we'll go over some good pivot plays to go off of. So before I hop into the field here too much, just going to tell you guys about some recent just updates to the research station, kind of quality of life improvements, patch notes, if you will. Finally got rid of the miscuts in the course history section. Had to throw some together, but now you can see the raw finishing position from year to year, and you know, when necessary, I'll try and add just field size to put things into perspective. Most events have the same field size every year. Like, it's always 144 here. So you'll be able to, yeah, I really wanted to show the difference between a miscut where the guy finished like 80th and a miscut where the guy finished like 130th. It's quite different in my opinion. So that's a nice little update I added there. And then kind of a bigger update, in the frozen section right next to salaries and stuff, I really wanted to showcase sample sizes here. So you can see the sample sizes for each person collected over the last year, the number of events they played, total rounds that they've played, and total number of shot link rounds, which is also very important. You know, if you've got a guy that's popping considerably in the stat, now you can very, very quickly reference, and you'll get a big bright red warning if a person has a low sample size. So you can always heed that into mind, not only with players that pop majorly, like we've seen guys like Albertson, you know, some of the newer guys pop like that, but also guys that just haven't played in a while or haven't played very much and might be rating out super poorly. You know, guys like Danny Willett, you know, I mean, he's looking pretty terrible stats wise, but when he only has 9 rounds of shot link data to go off of, you know, compared to other guys that have like 60, 70, 80, that's going to make a big difference there. So, you know, to investigate a little further into guys like that. So yeah, just excited for how things are coming along. Starting to look pretty good over here. And yeah, let's hop into this field. Gonna talk about all the guys 10K and above. before we break it off into the VIP only deep dive section, which again you can access by going to dfsarmy.com using the link in the description and signing up with promo code TACO. That's it's a smart move right there. So topping off this field, two of the biggest names you'll need to know this week, because they're the 11K guys on DraftKings, and they quite deservedly deserve to be the two best players in the field. They both raid out better than pretty much everyone. That is Justin and Dustin. You're going to see these guys at the top of fields quite often, unless some of them, I don't know, like fall off a cliff or slide down the stairs or something. These guys have just been killing it. You know, if Rose was in the field, he would be lumped right in there, and there would be like a big three sort of. But Dustin, Justin, actually, shoot, now that I think about it, that'd be Dustin and Justin and Justin. Holy crap. Hadn't even dawned on me until just now. The three best golfers in the world are Dustin and Justin and Justin. Well, if you're in Austin, it's a very good time to be a golfer, because we're looking at Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas right now, and they come in as the favorites, obviously. I think Justin Thomas is quite underrated on the books right now. He's at about a 12-1 right now. I freaking love him this week. His course history isn't as elite as Dustin's. Dustin's coming in off of, he's had five top five since 2012. Runner-up in 2015, 2014, winner in 2017, and just 16th last year. What a crapshoot. 16th. He did miss the cut in 2013, but the dude has been balling here, and he's Dustin Johnson. He's been, you're right up there as the world's best for several years now. He's won every single year he's been a golfer since like 2008. Elite talent, obviously, but Justin Thomas still just sticks out for me statistically. It's insane. His strokes gained approach numbers are otherworldly, honestly. I mean, he's just gained a metric crap ton of strokes gained. If you go to his last, you go to the strokes gained section on the research station, you can look at just his last 20 rounds individually with approach. Let's see, he's gained strokes approach in like 9 straight tournaments, and over the last 10, he's averaged 1.4 strokes gained per round, and over the last 20, a stroke gain per round. The dude is just sickening, honestly, and you can go back even farther. His over the last 50 rounds he's played, he also gains a stroke on average, which is just a ridiculous metric. That's like those are Tiger Woods numbers, quite literally. And he's just been super, super ultra consistent, just making cuts. And he finished in the top 25% of fields 86% of the time. That's even better than Dustin Johnson. And as you can kind of tell by how I'm focusing Thomas here, a little bit more over DJ. I mean, that's where my heart is. He's my number one play. But I think that the last, I don't know how many times he's teed it up, but he's been my favorite play, probably since he came back off of injury last year, to be quite frank. The dude is a monster. His skill set is focused right around what pretty much every tournament needs, which is the strokes gained approach. And he gains strokes in every aspect. You know, over the last 50, last 25 rounds, he gains about almost a half stroke around the green too. Which is quite better than Dustin Johnson, who just, you know, treads water, just barely gaining like a small amount of strokes in that split. So, you know, Dustin, Justin, you can't really go wrong either way. Dustin was the chalk last week and ended up looking like he was going to have yet another like top five finish there, but ended up falling off quite a bit on, I think it was Saturday, it was Friday. He had a pretty damn poor round. And just end up, you know, getting off to a 45th place finish. Nothing too great, you know. Not another win coming right off of the Saudi win. But here at this tournament, again, his course history is quite undeniable. It was pretty similar last week, so kind of the same story as last week for him. And if you look to the fantasy scoring stats, these guys are almost identical. So they are 1 and 2 right next to each other. You've actually got Bryson right behind them. And we'll get to Bryson. He's going to be important here. But, you know, they project almost similarly in the projected round score. And Fantasy points per round, they are dead even at 18.4. DraftKings points per round. And if you even want a tiebreaker and just look at FanDuel, they're both right at 17.0 projected fantasy points per round. They are that close. And really, the main difference between the two is, you know, Thomas might be a little bit more consistent, a little bit more cash safe, with, of course, Dustin Johnson having the, you know, score 150 DraftKings points sort of upside. But it's not like Justin Thomas doesn't have that as well. Dustin Johnson has the Vegas line value right now, and of course history here, but he's also more expensive. On FanDuel, he's only $100 more expensive. He's 12 even. He's going to be mega ultra chalk, just like he was last week on FanDuel. And on DraftKings, he's $400 more expensive. Still pretty cheap. Not the 12K range, but again, you know, 8-1, you know, that's not going to be quite as free as Pebble Beach, where he's like 5-1, 6-1. So, you know, those are the two guys up there. If you can afford them, then go for it. Justin Thomas doesn't have quite as good of course history here. The first 3 years he played here, it's not like he struggled. He made all of his cuts so far, but like T41, T54, T39, nothing too great to show from there. But last year he did post a top 10, and I would say that he has gotten considerably better and has elevated his game since first starting out in 2015, 2016, where he was kind of different than he is now. He was a lot more volatile, would be someone that puts up a ton of like double bogeys or worse, put a lot of snowmen on the cards. And he's gotten a lot safer with that, really reduced his number of bogeys and things like that. But one of the primary differences in his game has been he used to be very par 5 scoring reliant. Now he is just a beast at par 4 scoring, and that's going to come into play here big time. Of course, again, Dustin Johnson is right there. He ranks number 1 in strokes gained and in fantasy points gained to the field on par 4s or long par 4s, and that's where, you know, 6 of 18 holes or 1 out of every 3 holes on this course are going to be on. So, you know, I'm kind of harping on about some guys you're obviously just going to want to play. I've seen Justin Thomas come in at lower ownership than Dustin Johnson, you know, like at the Tournament of Champions last time they played together. But, even in tournaments before that, Justin Thomas, he kind of refrains from being the chalk a lot of the time, which is weird to me because I think he should be pretty much every week until he shows any sort of slowing. I mean, the dude's just monstrous, you know, just absolutely crushing it, and consistently, just oh so consistently. He's actually he's made more of his cuts than DJ has. Oh, they're actually even right now as it stands. Looking back at the last year, they both made 93% of their cuts, with the only difference being Justin Thomas has played a few more events. So yeah, like I had said, these guys are pretty even overall. I personally like Justin Thomas a little more. He's like my core play. But you're really just getting him at a little bit of a discount on DraftKings. On FanDuel, again, like I said, all the studs are kind of priced right in the exact same range. So it's going to make these guys stick out and be like super mega chalk over there. But there's reason to, there's definitely merit to fading these guys on FanDuel just for ownership's sake. Of course, cross-site hedging is always in play if you're going to be playing both sites. And yeah, looking at, you know, the next group of guys, just some guys I've been down on but have done nothing but post top 10 finishes this year. So we're talking about Rory McIlroy and John Rahm, $10,700 and $10,400 respectively. And, you know, they've been all getting it done. These guys get it done off the tee pretty much you know, by design, is where DJ and Justin Thomas are a bit more well-rounded and are particularly good with the strokes gained approach. So Rory and Justin Thomas, of everyone I've talked about, these are the guys that are actually pretty decent around the green. You know, Rahm and DJ, pretty similar, just treading water, right around zero strokes gained or so. Rahm a little bit better than DJ in that regard. And Rahm, he's been killing it lately. He's been just posting nonstop top 10s and kind of getting over this little mini sort of slump that he had going into the end of last season, because this is the sort of form that Rom was on for a good bit early last year, and he just really has, you know, really high top 10, a top 10 chance. Like any time that he tees it up, really, he's one of those guys. And of course, Rory's the same way. We saw him tie with Rom, fifth at the Farmers Insurance Open a few weeks back when we last saw him. But these are going to be more of your GPP plays for sure. I don't think the value is quite there with them still. You know, there's definitely merit to playing them. Rom, I think, is going to hold some ownership for sure. I don't know about Rory. He'd probably be a smarter play based on, you know, ownership. And he's actually played this course before. He's finished 20th here twice in 2016 and 2018. Rom's never played the course before. But, you know, as far as how their games align with the course and stuff, you know, it's all right. It's just they're very, very off the tee focused. One thing I sort of forgot to mention, though, with the par 5 scoring here, so since it's a par 71, it's there are three par 5s, and one of them is, like, extremely easy. Like, it's just Eagle City. You know, when you look at the scoring averages, you know, for different types of scores, like birdies and eagles and stuff, the course has a really high eagle percentage, despite having, you know, one less par 5 than a par 72 would have, and it pretty much all comes from that first par 5. It's 503 yards, and it is just ridiculously easy for people to eagle on, but it's so easy, it almost like evens out the field, is where it's like a freebie for everyone. It's not a terrible amount of advantage to be had from just being able to drive the ball like crazy. I mean, it helps, of course, but really it's just about just nailing your second shot there and what's a pretty easy green, and then cleaning up. Really just not about making mistakes there and ruining your chance at that hole. And then the other par twos or par fives, they come in a little longer, and it's going to help them there, of course, the distance and stuff. But, you know, like I said, it's more of just an ordinary course with you know, just very, very penal, rough, and that kind of helps John Rahm out a little bit. He does have better driving accuracy than pretty much everyone I've mentioned so far. 63% adjusted driving accuracy. The other studs that I've mentioned so far do come in at around like 56-57% each. So that does help Rom's case out a little bit here. I'm kind of just a little bit concerned about his odds at the moment. Of course, him never playing the course before. He comes at 16-1, as were Rory and Bryson around him, right at 14-1 right now. So I would expect Rom to get a little bit more love from the books, but we'll have to see if any of that changes. He's actually the only person, 10K or above, that's drifting the wrong way and aren't having their lines shortened. So that's a little interesting to see. I assume it's because he has never played the course before, but I'm not too concerned about it. Rom really does crush it on the West Coast. I mean, he's played six of these events on the West Coast with a 91%. A field rank split that's only bested by Thomas of the guys that we've mentioned so far, and gonna kind of be looking at that split a little more than I have been. It's actually done pretty well. I think it's really a West Coast thing. I mean, you see the guys that perform well at the West Coast, like, you know, Phil, just repeatedly do so. And you know, there are a couple of guys I mentioned as we go into the deep dive that just for some reason really popped on the West Coast, and it's getting me intrigued, honestly, because some guys literally are just, they play well on the West Coast, everywhere else they're bleh. I'm not even talking like Brendan Steele, you know, I'm even better than that, but I'll get there. So yeah, going back to Rory and Rom here, again, just, I'm going to make them GPP plays, and I assume, not on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, I assume Rom is going to get somewhat popular. We'll have to see as things go. Of course, not going to be nearly as popular as Bryson that I'm about to get to here, and we'll have to talk about for a little while. But I see Rom being probably the first pivot play that people think of to get off of Bryson. You know, there's Phil at $9,900, but he's coming fresh off a victory, and that could be weird for people. I know people don't like to roster people right after they've come off of a victory because they never win twice in a row, but still, you know. I'm personally going to be on Phil this week. That's I think it really rates out well, but you know, the really, really low driving accuracy that might come back to bite him. He's still very GPP, and especially like showdown only. That's how you attack Phil. But kind of get a little away from myself. I'll say that with Rory and Rahm, I've kind of alluded to this consensus a bit here, but GPP only kind of mix it up sort of plays for me. I just think that Justin and Dustin are too elite to ignore up at the top, and I'm going to want to try to fit those guys in over the likes of Rory and Rahm. You just can't select everybody. If you want to fade like a Dustin Johnson or a Justin Thomas and go in on Rory or Rahm, I think that is a perfectly fine play to make this week, honestly. Nothing against that at all. That's where I'm looking to at this point in time. So let's talk about Bryson here. He started off with his history here at this event by withdrawing in 2017. Ended up with a T41 finish last year, but since then it has been quite the wild ride. The dude has won several times recently. He's honestly blown up into being quite amazing. He's won three of his last six events that he's played on the PGA Tour. He's also won in Europe recently. The dude is phenomenal. He has even has a win at the Memorial, which is a really, really strong field. The back-to-back wins during the playoffs were very exceptional. A bunch of top fives in there as well. The dude is quite immaculate with the irons. As we're finding out, his stroke scanned approach numbers are, over the last 10 rounds, are even better than Justin Thomas. And they're almost, if you go longer term, they're not going to be nearly as good as Thomas's. But over the last 25 rounds, right on par with Thomas's. They've called him a wonder child, and I've always been very hesitant to go in with that, but it's almost undeniable at this point what he is able to do. It's very, very impressive. Kind of excited to see him back on tour here. We haven't seen him since the Sony, where he finished 10th. He's taken kind of a month off, went out to the desert in Europe. He ranks out third in the fantasy scoring projections, again, right in behind Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, and there's quite a drop-off from Bryson there to Fleetwood, then to Finau, then the rest of the field. You know, these are the guys that kind of stick out week to week, but with the par four scoring splits in particular, these guys are the cream of the crop because they're able to perform at the what's frankly one of the hardest hole types outside of, like, you know, crappy long par threes. These long par fours, medium length par fours, the bread and butter of what is golf. You know, basically what you need to be good at to be good at golf. And they're all hitting the ball over 300 yards and won't have to worry quite as much about using the longer irons and can maybe focus more on placement. The thing with Bryson is he's not only got the distance, 302, not as long as the other guys have talked about so far, but still not shabby at all. But he's got that driving accuracy as well. And outside of Dustin Johnson, he has the best greens regulation percentage of anyone I've talked about so far. Gains a ton of fantasy points to the field, with his consistent high placement and all that, and gains birdies as well. Not quite at Justin Thomas level. Pretty much no one gains birdies as well as Justin Thomas does, outside of maybe Fleetwood, because that's how they are. But Bryson, just a monster at, avoiding the bogeys, double bogeys, and gaining birdies to the field, and just playing ridiculously good golf. Really liking Bryson DeChambeau, and for what it's worth, he's played 10 events over the last year on par 71s with a 91% field rank. That's the best in the entire field. So be that as it may, it's kind of a weird split. I'm kind of iffy about that split in the first place, but still, it's hard to find stuff that doesn't pop out with him. Even the other sort of categories here around the green, putting, short game, he's just averaged okay at, but he's gaining strokes, not losing them to the field, just, kind of treading water like some of the other guys around here. But off the tee and approach, pretty much tee to green, he's a god, and that's just how he's been playing. better odds than Rahm and same odds as Rory. And he's more expensive than Rory on FanDuel, just a tad bit cheaper over there. And yeah, I think he's going to be, I think he gets kind of chalky on DraftKings, both sites really. And there's good reason to. I mean, obviously, on DraftKings, the Euro win is going to come up in the game logs, help him out quite a bit there. So he'll get to be chalky. I'm sure he'll pop for everyone. He's popping as the highest projected value so far of everyone that I've spoken about. And yeah, he's just going to be a killer play. And yeah, I like him more than Rory and Rahm, obviously, here. I don't like him more than Justin Thomas, but I probably like him just a smidge more than Dustin. It's really hard to get off of Dustin with the course history here, but this is a place where a certain guy, Mr. KJ Choi, he might have broke my heart last week. I go all in on that guy at this tournament every year, and it was the first time in 16 years they had refused to finish top 30 for me, but I'm just a little little stricken from that, and the Luke Donald incident from last year, and of course Matsuyama withdrawing from the Phoenix and stuff. So I mean, that's probably me just overblowing it a little bit, but you know, Bryson's got the highest odds drifts in the field right now. He's moved up 6% since opening, and yeah, just a lot of reasons to play the guy. I'm sure that people will find a way to make him chalky. He's gonna get a lot of TV time, as he always does. You know, they'll like show, he's almost like Tiger in the way that they'll show him like just taking a bunch of practice shots when there are other guys out there like actually competing, you know. And a stupid hat, you know, the stupid hat, the freaking the Tiger Woods create a player hat thing, like come on. Oh man, I could get on, you know, Bryson for stuff like that. You know, he's a goofy character, but you know, that's kind of part of what makes him endearing. Just nice to kind of see him back on tour again. I hope he plays a bunch of tournaments this year so we can really see what he's made of. I think this year he's either going to maybe fall back and regress a little tiny bit, or just keep moving towards being an absolutely elite golfer. He's being priced like one right now. And we'll see if he deserves to stay in the five-digit range for the foreseeable future. So that'll do it for the free part of this podcast. You VIP members, just stay tuned. And remember, if you want to check out the rest of this podcast and get access to the Research Station, the Domination Station Lineup Optimizer, and access to all the other daily fantasy sports that we offer, remember dfsarmy.com, promo link in the description, and use promo code TACO on signup for that lifetime 20% off. I'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. Game.